CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, a brand new week, and the last full week, well, it's not even a full week, because yesterday we had a holiday, but I suppose you could call it the last full week for most people. We're here until the 24th, just reminding you, you know, not to make you feel guilty or anything, just to make sure that you know we're here for you, right up to the bitter end. 24th, that's next Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Yes, well, that's next week. Well, don't say happy birthday too soon.
Oh, okay.
I love Christmas. You know that, right? So I've been taken in by the whole Christmas thing and feeling particularly festive this week.
Ooh.
It's good. Yeah, I bought all my presents. That's all done. So I can actually just enjoy the week. And you know what's nice? Pumi was saying when she came in this morning. So Pumi's here. Sia, Mbulelo, me, and you to get your day started. Pumi was saying to me she's feeling a little bit of that end of year, like, burnout feeling. You know, like it's done now. Let's move on, you know. And I kind of know what she's talking about. You get to the stage of the year and you're like, everybody, just leave me alone. Let me just recuperate. Let me just spend... Because we all think that the year falls off the edge of a mountain, the edge of a cliff at the end of the year. It's like you're looking down over this chasm and then you see the other year. It's in the distance.
Yeah.
But actually, it's there. Like, you close your eyes for a second and you're into the next one.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine who was scheduling some things, and then he says, yeah, and then on the 13th of Jan, and then I'm like, excuse me, don't speak about it as if it's yonder in the distance. 13th of Jan isn't like 3 weeks, 4 weeks right. away. Sorry yeah. to just burst your bubble like that.
No, exactly.
Yeah, we're 2 seconds away from the end of the year. I'm excited, though.
The beginning of the new one. I still haven't made any plans for New Year, and I don't know that I'm going to until like 2 days before.
Gareth, I'm still convinced you're going to like Bazarito or something.
No,
something's going to happen last minute.
It's only because you don't know me well enough. You haven't been here long enough to figure that out, but you'll get there.
I can't even point to that in
you'll
the map.
Get there. Well, I'm excited. We're going to be joined by a friend of mine who Sia and I know quite well. We went to London with her not last year, the year before, right? Well, it was last year. No, it was.
Shucks, it was last year. Your 2019 has been long, guys.
And we're going to talk to her about Boris. We're going to talk to her about Brexit. But we're most especially going to talk to her because she's listened to the show for a long time about all kinds of other interesting stuff. She and I have a common link to Jamaica, among other things.
Explain that quickly, please.
Well, Eleanor's mother lives in Jamaica, and she was born in England. But her mom moved to England, then moved back to Jamaica. And my grandmother was born in Jamaica. Mm. So we've got this connection, and I think there's quite a lot going on there. Like, in terms of that place is just different everywhere else on earth. You look at what they've produced. They've produced reggae music. They've produced the most incredible, like, culture, subculture, you could call it maybe, of Rastafarianism. Mm. There's a whole lot of stuff that's come out of Jamaica that's totally original. And West Indies cricket and the music and the just everything about that place is just fantastic. Like, I've got friends who went there for the first time. They had no connection at all to Jamaica. They went for their honeymoon. No, they went for their honeymoon and they stayed in Jamaica. They said it is paradise. It's just the most amazing place on earth. I've never been, and it's something that's on my to-do list in a big way.
It's where Stella got her groove back.
Correct. And I just love it. The language. I mean, my grandmother was just... She had that lilt in her language for the longest time. The way she spoke, her accent. And I remember it as a kid. I just thought it was charming beyond belief. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We've got some fun people coming in this week because we can mess around a bit.
Mm.
It's not so serious, you know. And those people who are actually waking up and going to work this week, you know as well as I do, it's
those
not as hard.
Those people that are like us.
It's not as hard, but there's less traffic.
Do you think we're in the minority?
Yeah. You notice how little traffic there was?
South Africa has an obsession with the December break.
Mm.
An absolute obsession with the December break. After the 16th of December, this country is on holiday.
Complete shutdown.
Yeah, it is a bit.
I saw a photo of one of the highways leading to Durban. on Saturday morning.
No.
And was chock-a-block full of cars driving down to the coast. So, okay, yeah, I think that answers itself. We are a bit in the minority. But I don't really mind it.
No, I love it.
I don't mind
it. And I'll tell you something. You always feel more grounded when you stay in Gauteng. And it's the best kept secret for a lot of people who have figured it out. I mean, it's not much of a secret if a lot of people know it. But
yeah.
It is still, because people have, as Pumi says, this need, this desire to make a big meal of December.
Well, that's because we do have a migrant labor culture.
No, of course.
And also, like, the weather. This is, for me, December is, the weather just begs you to be outside.
Yeah.
It won't allow you to just, like, hang out inside. Be in the office. No. It just wants you to be outside, sundowners, all of those
beautiful,
cool things.
But you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at the coast. You can do that here. That's what's nice. There's lots of places that are open. Suddenly, bookings are not a problem. Parking's not an issue. Suddenly,
driving anywhere is not an issue.
No, it's look. If you're gonna have cocktails, I mean, I Uber everywhere now, so. My Uber bill the other day was so high over one weekend that my bank called me to check there wasn't fraud on my account.
Oh, really?
Because I don't, even if I'm not drinking, I don't take a chance because, you know, the Metro Police, they'll find something wrong with your tire or your car, or your windscreen or your exhaust or your something, because they're also looking for some Christmas bonus.
And then I was laughing seeing a social,
like, get me in the Uber, mofos.
I was laughing looking at a social media post after all of the rain that we had in Johannesburg. Someone said something along the lines of, guys, be careful, JMPD had like 4 days of not being on the road because of the rain, so now
and they're making up for it.
They have to. So just be careful. They really will be looking at everything.
Absolutely true. Sure.
They have to make up for some cold drink money.
They're hungry.
Yes.
The Metro.
Bonus.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So there are a few things that are going on. President Cyril Ramaphosa yesterday had a reconciliation day address and he pardoned a bunch of criminals.
The only thing I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Coming out of Cyril's mouth is the fact that he has promised us no load shedding. As of yesterday, guys.
You believe it?
As of yesterday, and he said up until the 13th of January.
You believe it,
no
though?
Load shedding. I'm just excited that he would put himself out there like that.
Yeah, especially knowing Eskom.
I really am excited for him that he would put himself out there like that. This is the first time, really, in his entire presidency that he's like gone out on a limb. I don't know if it's the right thing for him to put himself out there with, but hey.
I don't know if I don't believe this guy. I mean, you heard his bullshit excuse for why we had load shedding the last time. Sabotage. Yeah, I wonder how that investigation's going. Yeah. Let's check in next year. No arrests, no progress. Watch. Made it up. We know it was bullshit.
Personally, I like the wet coal story.
Does it work for you?
The wet coal story works for me, right? Because I can see how that can happen. Have you never had, like, left your bri coal outside and you thought it was, like, in a covered area on the patio? Sorry. And then there you are a week later trying to bri and it is wet.
Like, first
that,
of all,
that story. That
I'm
kind
not.
Of,
I'm not a great bri guy, so don't ask me about that.
Yeah, there's gas bris now.
You're not, Gareth.
I'm not, eh? I can. I mean, I know how to bri, and my I can chisanyama with the best of them. But it's not something that I do. It's not a social thing. Like, I know a lot of people who that is the center of their social life. Everybody comes around. They all bri some meat. That's for me. It's like drinks, and I don't mind hosting parties at my house, but it's usually drinks, and I'm not a good food guy generally. And if you ask me to make food, you're taking your life in your hands. I know, it's the center of most people. No, I know, you're looking down on me, I can tell.
No, I'm with you. Bri's are a nightmare.
Jesus.
A nightmare.
Really? I was not taking you for it.
First of all,
give me a gas bri, go home.
Dude, what a mess.
Go home.
Like, you have to make those fires like 2 hours before or an hour before. You have to, and then someone has to clean that bri afterwards, which is just... You know what I mean? Don't look at me in horror. And the meat is very expensive. Not that I'm being cheap about it, but if you invite 8 people around, yes, that's a lot of meat.
And there's always chances you don't bring, and then it's a mess. Oh, just gas bright, go home. Go to your own house. I don't want you around my house forever. Go home.
Mbulelo, you are so ticked off.
Bries are the worst. They are the worst.
Mbulelo is a Bri Grinch.
Yeah, he is.
Goodness.
And I don't even blame him.
Having said that, I heard, having gone to a Bri, I heard an idiomatic expression.
You go to other people's Bri's.
You can go and annoy people.
Not in my house. Go home.
But you can go and be the inconvenience to others.
Guys, they're two separate issues. Yeah. We can talk about other people's Bri's another time. Today we were talking about I hate Bri's.
And yet you go to people's Bri's.
No, that's a separate issue.
No, it isn't.
Anyway, so I heard an idiomatic expression this weekend at a Bri. So I didn't, this guy was telling me about his ex-girlfriend, and he said to me, you know, the relationship was really, really dark. So I was like to him, how dark did it get? And he said, as dark as wet coal. And I didn't think this country was that. I was like, yo.
Wow.
I mean, that's good on a metaphorical level. It's good on a strict literal level. I like that.
So yeah.
You know, just when you think South Africans have said everything that they can say, there are just moments that bring out what I believe is the best of us. I saw a video of these two women who were shouting at an Eskom building, and they're Xhosa women. So it just makes it even better.
They were shouting at the building.
They were someone was recording them, and they were shouting in Xhosa, like, "Wena! Jani, and it's the festive. What do you think you're doing to us? Switching off the electricity." I was like, yes, that's amazing. And then my other golden social media post that I saw was someone directing it to our president saying, "I just don't understand, Mr. President, how you still have the ability to be shocked. How are you shocked with what electricity when we have nothing?" How can you be shocked? I think, South Africa. This is why I'm still happy.
All right, well, somebody here says they must shut up with that wet coal nonsense. This is actually Leighton. Says that wet coal's bullshit. You build a afdak, you've got the coal, doesn't get wet.
Yeah,
stupid.
If you had built an afdak, but no afdak.
Mara, why give to people? Why give a contract to people who don't have the afdak? Mm. If I'm contracted to supply Pumi with paper, and I don't have any wood to make paper, I shouldn't get the contract to supply Pumi with paper.
Mm.
And that's what they were saying in the newspapers over the weekend. Believe it or not, I picked up a newspaper.
Oh.
I was at the gym and I was ordering like food for lunch. And I saw the Sunday Times. I forgot what the Sunday Times looked like.
A hard copy newspaper.
Yeah, I haven't seen one for ages. So I looked at it. It was kind of a nostalgic feeling. There are lots of people who still like that, hey? Older people, they like the newspaper. They like that feel of the newspaper. And I looked at it, and they're going on about who's to blame for Eskom, and it's Brian Molefe this, and it's Brian Molefe that. And look, all of the people who had any hand in this, going back all the way to Alec Irwin, you remember him. All of those people, I want to see them all put in front of a people's tribunal, and we decide how many years they have to work for free in a coal mine to pay us back for all the load shedding and the mismanagement and the lack of maintenance and all of that stuff. Because each of those people who have some kind of a hand in this, and some of them have got away with big money, eh? Some of them have got out of there and we don't even know that they were on the board. People whose names you've never heard. Like you always say, Pumi, it's not always the Dudumyeni, the one who sticks
out. The obvious person.
There's other people on that board who said, yes, we want to know who they are. We want them to work in the coal mines. That's their punishment. They think it's all fun and games. Order this person around. Give a deal to this person. Supply coal from here. Let's see you in the mines working that coal. That's not fun.
I like it.
Mm.
Vlad the Impaler style justice.
Yeah. And I'm not saying they have to be mistreated or anything. Coal mining is hard enough.
Mm.
Let them have the right experience. It's an experience that many laborers in this country go through. But it's got to be an experience that teaches them the humility that they clearly didn't show while they were in charge of our power utility.
Mm.
And let's see if these people really are workers and if they understand what workers go through. I don't care if you're 85 years old, Alec Irwin. I want to see him shoveling.
I'm with you.
Is Alec Irwin 85?
I don't know. He looks 905. The last time I saw him, where is he anyway? I mean, he's probably sitting in some beach house right now enjoying a view that his ministerial salary and maybe a couple of perks on the side paid for. Who knows?
He's 71.
Yeah. Not even that old.
He's still going to bleed us dry with his salary until.
Yeah, we're probably paying pension. Anyway, someone asked, is that Unati laughing? Yeah, that is a recording of Unati laughing. No one else laughs like that. It's a first. This is someone agreeing with Mbulelo here. This is... Milady, that's what she calls herself on WhatsApp this morning. She says, it's a first. I'm listening live and I'm a fellow Bri Grinch too, like Mbulelo.
Wow.
I love the podcasts. Always catch up when I miss them. Happy festive season to my podcast besties.
Yay.
Very nice.
Solidarity comment.
So,
we touched on a nerve.
Did anybody do anything fun this weekend? And did anyone throw anything out of windows like Jonathan Witt said happens over
on the 16th?
The 16th long weekend, he said, is famous in hospitals across South Africa for being the busiest time in the emergency ward.
Yes.
Really?
This is where people throw shit out of windows. They get so drunk that they get knives and axes and things stuck in their heads. It's the biggest weekend in emergency wards across the country.
Bigger than New Year's Eve.
Bigger than New Year's Eve. That's what he told us. This is the worst one because... there's extra drinking. People get paid early, bonus, and they've got more to spend. And they just lose their minds. They're like, yeah, December's coming. So they get nailed.
Yo.
And then doctors have to deal with it. So if anyone did anything like that, you better own up now. I didn't do anything dumb like that this weekend. I did. Let me think. Friday, I unnecessarily went out, but I actually got...
this the night where you, like, racked up the Uber bill?
It was one of the... Well, it was just a trip there and back, so it wasn't so bad. But I got talked into going out for afternoon drinks, which became nighttime. But I was home by 10:30, so it wasn't so bad. The nice thing about drinking during the day is you get tired, and then you go home, and you actually get some sleep, and then you're fine on the Saturday.
My roommate sent us a voice note going, guys, you have to come. I won't say where you were. Mm-hmm. Gareth Cliff's here. And I said,
you're joking.
She didn't know. I was like, no, I don't party with my boss.
Yeah, I know.
Nyang Korn.
Thank God. Yeah. All right, good stuff. Yes, I appreciate that.
Oh, no, I'm so slumped into exactly what I want to do for the rest of the festive season. I got into my house on Friday afternoon. I did not leave until Sunday morning. Woo-hoo-hoo.
You're joking, Sia.
Oh,
you didn't go anywhere.
It was. Well, I went out then on Sunday, but you know, for that stretch from Friday afternoon and the whole of Saturday, and just like staying in my bed on Saturday night, I was in a robe. I was moisturizing.
Wow.
Drinking water.
I was looking at my neighbors and judging them through the blinds.
Were people getting drunk around you?
Oh, I couldn't care. I couldn't care.
Were you at least watching vicariously, seeing how other people
I wasn't even interested. You know, every once in a while, hold your breath, shocker, I know, I get peopled out. And reached that point. I was peopled out.
Wow.
I deliberately stopped by the grocery store on my way after leaving the office here on Friday, and I bought all my favorite snacks. So there was no reason for me to leave the house for more than 24
Netflix
hours.
Did you Netflix and chill?
I caught up on, I have books that I've bought that I haven't read yet. I dabbled in a couple of chapters here and there. I was reading articles I wanted to read for a while. I was calling friends I haven't caught up with in a while.
So yeah, you sound 60.
100.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. Sound like a very old man.
I took about 3 bubble baths.
Oh my gosh. Put me with judging.
I don't care.
Oh, I am so judgy McJudgy right now.
I don't care. It was exactly what I needed.
All of y'all.
Oh, it was exactly what I needed. And then on Sunday, I went to a friend of mine who's working on the South African version of Family Feud.
Oh.
And that's the one Steve Harvey announced when he was in the country a couple of months ago. And so now they're actually filming it. So I was hanging out with my friends and also then sat in on one of the tapings. Let me say, there was, you know, I just thought it was going to be a...
Are they taping Family Feud now?
Yeah.
Sure.
So they're spending the next couple of days... completing the season that will air early next year. I didn't really think much about it, you know, and I think we might know about Family Feud here in this country, but I don't think we are religious fans around it, just like the Americans are. But after seeing some of the taping, I think this is going to be a big show.
It was
hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
I'm looking forward to this.
I think it actually even works better that Steve Harvey is still hosting it here in the country, because there's so many cultural differences that we have in this country as opposed to Americans that I didn't think were all that noteworthy up until an American points it out. So he didn't even, he was like,
oh, wow.
You know, part of the whole Family Feud thing is you have to, they survey people on popular answers or, you know, popular situations. And then the families on stage have to guess them. So one of the questions there was, name some of the things that you associate with a funeral. And Steve was rattling off some answers, like, you know, wearing black or a corpse or something. None of those answers popped up in the games. Instead, it was a tent and food. Ooh, and it's like, actually, wait.
Yeah.
And Steve was genuinely shocked. He's like, wait, so you guys go to a funeral and the most important thing that you associate with a funeral is a tent and food? And we actually laughed thinking about, like, actually, that's a little screwed up. Like, we are more concerned with going there to eat.
The technical term is e-plate.
Yeah.
To use the correct term.
So, you know, it was just little nuances like that are really, really funny. So I'm looking
forward
to that
show. I like Steve Harvey,
though.
He's a funny dude. You see how hard these guys work? He's here the week before Christmas. He's busy filming.
I got to meet
the week before Christmas.
Yes.
Don't forget tomorrow, guys.
What's happening?
No, tonight.
What's happening tonight?
Should I get
tonight,
out my calendar?
Trevor Noah's gonna have Zozzy on.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Oh, how could I have forgotten?
I don't.
No, yeah. Of course. But I'm flip flop.
Trevor's gonna have Zozzy on tonight.
Okay.
On Comedy Central, it's going to be awesome.
I honestly have never watched a whole episode of Trevor. I watch it on YouTube occasionally, and that's me done.
No, not into those shows.
Well, let's give it a go, because Zozzy's on.
No, we'll support.
You saw Oprah tweeted about Zozzy?
Mm-hmm.
That's good news.
But a lot of people are now, like, at first they were so supportive of Zozzy. Then a lot of people are just standing there with their arms open, like, ow. But then... Because Zozzy, in one of her interviews, said, yeah, I don't really know when I'm going to go back to South Africa. Yeah. But it's not a personal decision. It's that whole Miss Universe whirlwind. Sure. I think as soon as she won and the pageant happened in Atlanta, she was shipped to New York City. They moved her
put
into an apartment, and then she's doing media, and she's she now has a crazy travel schedule.
Well, she's no longer Miss SA, right?
Yeah, yes. No.
So she gets... supplanted by, finally, that first princess gets her
moment.
That first princess was cheering hard during that Miss Universe competition.
She also got to go to Miss World.
Did she not win that?
No.
Oh, otherwise the second princess. Yes. She was like, well, it's my time.
You will be very pleased to know this after your big Jamaica story. Because Miss Jamaica won Miss World.
Okay. Mm. Who can keep up with all these pageants?
It's mental.
Shouldn't they spread them out a bit? Really?
Well,
all in one week?
It's a little awkward, though. I doubt anyone in this room Miss World.
Who's more important, Miss Universe or Miss World? And don't say just because Zozzy's Miss Universe that that's it, because that's not true. Miss Universe is the one Trump used to own.
Yes.
Right.
But the universe is bigger than the world.
Yeah, but...
But...
But do other planets get to vote?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when Canada and the US play the World Series.
Yeah.
The rest of the world is not involved in this.
Good point. Good point.
Is Miss World bigger than Miss Universe or Miss Universe bigger than Miss World? Honestly, I don't know. I mean, who the hell knows? Does anybody have a ranking system on this? Which is the more premium title? Because wouldn't it have been weird if we'd won both, right?
We would have then been only the sixth country in the world to have both titles in 1 year.
The fact that you are sitting on a stat like that.
Wow. Pumi, you are deep.
That's incredible.
You are deep, deep in the pageant world.
Were you just ready with that stat?
Only
wow.
the sixth country.
So Pumi, which one has the most prizes? Which one has the most prestige? Which one has the most expensive crown? Which one has the most... countries participating. We need to know all of that.
Miss Stats.
Miss Stats, yeah. Yes. That's Pumi's title. Mpitlang says, on Saturday there was a wedding in the neighborhood. The bride's uncle was soaking wet after peeing himself.
Oh, no,
he couldn't even stand upright for a second. He had to sit down during his speech. Jaw, the bride was all in tears, and then after that, he was just full of shit. Guys, drink responsibly and never have such uncles on your programs. That's from Bihlang.
More importantly, never be that uncle.
Mm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Not in South Africa, I'm afraid.
Sandile saying, funeral food is the best plate of food ever.
See, let's...
you see, your plate.
We have to just reconsider what we're all about.
See, priorities. This is Miguel says, have you listened to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend with Ellen DeGeneres yet? Apparently for you, that's something to pay attention to.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is interesting. This is from Marcus. Marcus says, my boss didn't come to work yesterday because he was partying with a famous South African musician until 9 a.m. on Monday.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Wait. The boss is not at work today.
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
And yesterday was a holiday.
Yeah, the 16th. Okay, yeah. Because he was partying the whole... Yo. We're going to see more of this ridiculous behavior.
Listen to this. This is exciting. This is from Riech. She says, I was on Sandy Bay the whole weekend getting my no tan lines on.
Lovely.
Yay, baby. Exciting stuff. Mm. Ever been to a nude beach? I haven't.
See, I would like to.
No.
But
no,
it would have to be... Okay, so they call it kitchen talk, just off the record. They say there are certain things you must just never do in your home country. Things like go to a nude beach, yeah, have a threesome. You just never...
Oh, yeah.
It's like the...
Slide that in there. Yeah.
It's just off the record kitchen table talk. Because heaven forbid, there I am going, living my best life. Then someone says, see, is that you?
Yeah.
On the upside, they would also be nude.
No, it's not the upside, because what if they're just used to it? And then like me, being a nude... No, I'd want to experience it in the middle of... I don't know. Except Croatia.
Is it the thing about nude beaches?
Yeah. Like all the thing about nude beaches.
Yeah, here's
is,
the thing, guys. Yes.
Like all beaches, right? Yeah. Is there's no guarantee of the type of bodies that come to this place.
That's right.
And that therein lies the real problem.
Uh-huh.
It's not like Baywatch. It's not like at the, you know, at the entrance they're like, sorry, we don't allow your body type.
Right. This is why
they allow all body types in.
Mm.
I don't go, not because I think I would be allowed if that was the rule, but because I don't want to see the people who are not allowed nude. We've got to be very careful who we want nude around us. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. It's a fantastic point. I've been to Sandy Bay. So
you have?
It's in London.
Oh. So you've done this. Yeah, you're the only one who can speak with experience here.
I'm a liberal man. After my diva said us free, I want to try it all.
The floor is yours, Mbulelo. Inquiring minds want to know.
So Ulysses Pumi's got a tremendous point, right? Especially in places like London. It's extremely exclusive. I mean, your Brad Pitts, Pierce Brosnan, all sorts of people own houses in Sandy Bay. So there's only one real...
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Do those people own...
It's where all the stars have their little... When they say they're in South Africa, a lot of them are in Lindadno. It's exclusive, exclusive, exclusive. Yeah.
But pardon me, just pause and backtrack.
Let's hear it.
Did you go alone? Did you go with people?
No, so
did you go once or did you frequent it?
I've been a couple of times.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple means between three and five.
No, more than five times.
Oh, wow, you're a regular.
That is not a couple. No, a couple is two.
Let me tell you the story. So I was staying there. Remember when there was a little thing called Fees Must Fall?
You stayed at Sandy?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
No, a friend of mine has a place there. I'm not in that. So he let me stay there during Fees Must Fall, right? Mm-hmm. I went to...
Poor you. You must have really suffered.
No, it was tough.
You were one with the people.
No, someone's got to do it. Yeah. I was on the ground, spiritually.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm avoiding Fees Must Fall by going to Llandudno.
He was probably there, and then
I'm not having you over for a bride.
What? He's not probably you. Hashtagging while on the beach.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I was there in solidarity with the people, yeah, you know.
Support.
No, in emotional support. Anyway, Spoomy's made a great point, is especially the people that can afford to live there, generally their age bracket is 60 and up.
Yeah, so they're not the ones you want to see.
The Ripped Oaks want to go to Clifton, boo.
But that still didn't stop you.
No, you got to imbibe yourself into the billionaire culture.
So is this something...
It's a rite of passage.
I have 40,000 questions around this. Is this something you said with your friends and you go, actually, let's hit the beach? Or did you go on your own?
No, well, he was there. And so you do as the Romans do, my friend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's the guy who owns the place.
The guy who owns it. All right.
So, you know, you do as the Romans do. You don't go to Italy and eat pap. You know, you go and indulge in pasta, you know. You got to do what the Romans do. So
Romans also used to, use pee to wash their clothes.
No, listen,
that's
I'm not...
true. Good point, well put.
It's true. They didn't bath until the 11th century. But anyway, that's besides the point. It's...
No. While we're doing as the Romans do.
Yeah, it's quite important, actually. There are
many things that Romans did.
It was a metaphorical expression trying to make a point. But I got you, yeah. Old people, wrinkly usually, and burnt by the sun by spending way too much time in the sun because they're really rich and their job is tanning and brunches.
And those bodies that look like beans. Have you seen those?
Beans?
Yeah, you know how a bean is. You know, like kuponjis.
A kidney bean, yeah.
Yeah, like... People who are
shaped like a bean. That many people. Oh my gosh! If someone described my body like that,
shaped like a bean,
I'd be distraught. They curve inwards. Oh my goodness! That's the saddest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, beaches.
Yeah. Then they got that Donald Trump orange thing going.
I hate to break up this discussion of other people's nudity, but
who look like beans.
Let's get into a couple of the stories this morning that you need to be paying attention
Wowzers.
To. Yes, the five things you need to know today. All right, we'll begin with a story from Times Live. 1 in 5 inmates to benefit from the prison remission announcement. This is quite a big deal. About 1/5 of our total prisoner offender population will have their sentences reduced thanks to the Presidential Remission of Sentence Program. During a Day of Reconciliation commemoration in Bergville, KwaZulu-Natal on Monday, President Cyril Ramaphosa announced a decision to remit the sentence expiry dates of specific categories of sentenced offenders, probationers, and parolees across all correction facilities.
And because Mbulelo talked to us about fees must fall, including Kaya Tsekeshe.
Right. In a press briefing after his announcement, Justice Minister Ronald Lamola explained, about 51,063 criminal offenders would be granted special remission. That's quite a lot. That's 1/5 of the prison population. Now, obviously, prisoners who have committed sexual offenses, child abuse, murder, and attempted murder or armed robbery are not qualified. So everybody who has that argument, well, and it was something I thought when I heard about this, well, more dangerous people being let into society. But a lot of these people who've been... You know, we've got people who've been locked up for stupid stuff like, you know, possession of...
Marijuana,
exactly. And it's just that kind of thing that, you know, that these people maybe couldn't afford legal representation and all kinds of other things. I'm not saying it's a blanket situation. There may be some bad people who leak through the system here. But don't let's pretend some bad people don't leak through the system anyway and get away scot-free.
Some people have never been through the system.
Correct. And some people also get locked up unfairly. So there may be a percentage of these people who are actually not guilty of anything.
Mm.
And we do have those stories, horrible stories, of people who've just been in a waiting trial prison for, you know, like
years.
8 years. And yeah. And that's terrifying. You imagine what you would do if you were in that situation. You'd want to, you know... You want to kill yourself, I suppose.
And then Shabir Sheikh is still getting his golf score down.
Very sick, please. Don't bring that up.
Apologies.
How must he improve and get better if you keep bringing that up?
Quite right.
I mean, really, the guy should have been dead 5 years ago. It's a miracle. No. Let's be grateful. Praise to the Lord for saving Shabir Sheikh. And in Cape Town, the City of Cape Town's Metro Police have noted an increase in imitation firearms. This is interesting. Between July and November, officers, sometimes those are the same thing, seized 53 firearms, of which 28 were imitation weapons.
Wow. What does that even mean, imitation weapon?
Means a toy gun, effectively.
And so you can now have a charge.
Yeah. Between July and November, officers seized these arms. At least 72 people were apprehended in connection with this, resulting in over 100 charges. Metro Police's Wayne LaRue
said... What's the charge?
Possession of a firearm. And if it turns out
fake
that...
Fake firearm.
But if it turns out that you've used it in a crime...
Yeah.
And it was fake, I think that the charge stands.
Excellent.
So if you use a fake one, you still have intention to do bad things. Of course, you don't have the firepower to make those bad things happen. But are you going to take a chance if you're the person at the other end of that gun? Ah, you've got a fake one, and then they shoot you. So Wayne LaRue of the Metro Police said, suspects were making use of these replicas as they assumed they wouldn't face the full might of the law when caught. The increase in imitation firearms is not surprising. They fool people into believing they're real. Suspects can still be charged in terms of the law. So interesting. Interesting stuff. That's from EWN this morning. ENCA reporting today that doctors...
Not from the EFF conference.
No. Yeah, they were banned, weren't they?
No, they decided
not to go.
They staged a walkout.
A culpable homicide case against two doctors has sent shudders through the medical fraternity. Last week, warrants of arrest were issued for pediatric surgeon and anaesthetist, both physicians due in the Johannesburg Magistrates Court on Tuesday. Zayan Syed was admitted to hospital on the 11th of October and underwent laparoscopic surgery for acid reflux but died that night. His father opened a case of culpable homicide against the two doctors. The surgeon's lawyer says he would appear in court and is cooperating with investigators. He denied the allegations. In October, Netcare suspended the two doctors and health professionals, and they're investigating their conduct. This is a lot more complicated than...
Wait, say what now? Like... Fake doctors or not?
No, they're real doctors.
Real doctors?
Yeah, they're real doctors. There was obviously a problem. The kid died. It was supposedly a very routine operation, but that sometimes happens. And, you know, the anesthetist sometimes gets the amounts wrong because there's a lot of very complicated guesswork that has to be done there. And generally, this stuff is why people take out health insurance. Why doctors take out medical insurance. And... it's an unfortunate and ugly situation, but if we start locking doctors up for this kind of thing, no one wants to be a doctor anymore. And then we end up in a situation where doctors look at people and go, Sia looks like the kind of person who's going to sue me, so I'm just not going to work on Sia. Sorry, find someone else.
Yeah, doctors deserve a special set of laws. I'm sorry, they're special.
No.
I don't care who you think you are.
Some people are more
special. I care more about my doctors than if you can spray paint on a wall. I don't care about you.
No.
I want to live.
No.
You think not?
No.
This thing is further compounded by the fact that the guy whose son it is in business with Adriana Mazzotti and... Julius Malema is a friend. And special people. We talk about how people get different treatment for different people. This
laws are there to protect the best and the worst of us.
I agree.
There cannot be a separate set of laws for a particular set of people. No. So if they have done nothing wrong, if it was routine and this is just what happened, this is how the dice rolled on the day and your child died, then they should be able to go through the entire system and put their case forward and walk away on the other side with everybody feeling that they have done everything that they needed to do to get to closure. That's it.
So I come from a home where there's a medical professional. This is the news. It happens.
There's the connection.
It's interesting
I'll
that
tell
it's
you why,
come
this
out.
Is, this is a story.
This is mass, yes. Yeah, story now what you've said.
Because this guy is connected.
Exactly. So. That's what it happens. People shouldn't be so shocked. This happens
so
more
if
often
if
than
we're
going to
talk about
so it's this is the reason why, Gareth, you haven't seen the Sunday Times for years and years. Is what you're actually then talking about is it's not what happened, it's the way that it's being framed in the media.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is a, you know, making a story out of a non-story, it has nothing to do with the doctors. Or that they need a separate set of laws, it simply means that the media agency involved has a particular
agenda.
Mm.
You said it, not me.
Oh. In other news, the wife of Zimbabwe's vice president.
Yay!
I don't know what it is.
What is going on?
It seems on both sides of the Limpopo, because if you remember, Jacob Zuma accused his wife of poisoning him. So listen to this. The wife of Zimbabwe's vice president was charged with trying to kill her husband when she appeared in court on Monday.
By unplugging his life support.
Yeah. Prosecutors say Mary Mbaiwa tried to unplug Chiwenga, that's Constantino Chiwenga, the vice president's life support tubes in a South African hospital in June. So we're involved. She was initially arrested on Saturday by the Zimbabwean Anti-Corruption Commission on charges of fraud, money laundering, and breaching exchange control rules, and is accused of illegally transferring $900,000 to South Africa. She denies all the accusations against her, and her lawyer said that she would seek bail at Zimbabwe's High Court. She was refused bail after the initial charges. And the charges follow media reports that the two of them, who returned to Zimbabwe last month after 4 months in a Chinese hospital, where he was later treated for a blocked esophagus, were set to divorce.
Talk about Jesus. Fiddling while Rome is burning.
But not
Zimbabwe's
just
government has no reason why this is a top priority for them with all of the shit that's going down.
But
in Zimbabwe.
Look at what's happening here. This is, you talk about different rules for different people, Pumi. Look at how these guys, at the top of the political hierarchy, the elites of Zimbabwe, they go to South Africa for treatment, they go to China for treatment, they're withdrawing and moving $900,000 here, there, and everywhere.
Insane.
The average Zimbabwean can't find stuff on the shelf in the shop.
I should unplug them all from this life support.
In her defense, she had a really high bar to live up to because they've just come off disgrace, and that's a hell of a thing to live up to. Ooh, disgrace set the bar so high.
Are we really going with that?
Yes. I think we should also have sanctions like many countries do against the Zimbabwean political elite. They shouldn't be allowed to fly here. They shouldn't be allowed to spend here. They shouldn't be allowed to check into medical facilities here. Sorry, if you're in the ZANU-PF ruling class, you are banned from South Africa. Cut off, like Pumi says, their life support.
Yeah.
These people are using and abusing their own citizens. There is ample evidence of that. I don't see why it's a debate anymore. I don't know who their friends are in South Africa, but it's time for that friendship to be cast aside. Because we are paying the price as South Africa for all the mess ups in Zimbabwe. And we know that. And there are plenty of Zimbabweans here, good people. And there may be one or two who are not so good people. But the ZANU-PF people are definitely not the ones we should be supporting. And I don't think any South African would find any reason to disagree with that. And then finally, SpaceX. Who cares about SpaceX? Well, I think it's quite cool that there are still companies that are forging ahead, despite those that want to be doing business as usual. Thousands of islands dot the Pacific Ocean between Asia's southern coast and Australia, and the people who live on them have stayed mostly isolated from the digital age. But 6 years ago, there was a guy who founded a Singapore-based business called Kasific after he saw a market analysis that showed the Asia-Pacific region is starved, God, I can't speak this morning, for internet access, and people are willing to pay for it. Now, along with SpaceX, they're going to make internet available to these little islands who don't have any other connection to the internet or the digital world. Maybe they're lucky.
And their data's not expensive as ours.
Yeah, but they're going to do satellite-based internet for those people. So there's good news for anyone who has family or friends in the South Pacific.
Hey?
Yes, isn't that exciting? All right, that's all the news you need to know today. Leave anything out?
Well, if we're just still on some news front, let's just briefly talk about the EFF over the weekend.
Yes, what happened there? They had their conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to talk about, Zia?
The fact that we're going to have competition because they want to start their own broadcasting platform.
Oh.
They also want to start their own print publication.
Mm.
They also want to start a private school for the poor in the next 5 years.
Oh, their private school?
A private school
but
for the poor.
But everything else
that's
sounds pretty much socialist textbook stuff. Okay. But a private school is a bit of a break with tradition.
Mm. They.
I say they should. Yeah. I say the more the merrier. I mean, who would be against this?
They said a black-owned private school was long overdue, so that's what they'll be building.
Mm-hmm.
They proceeded to then call out, like, Motsepe, Robert Gumede for failing to build their own private schools by now.
They're calling out capitalists, people who've made money. Mm-hmm. Call out the socialists.
No, they'll get the money at VBS, so that's okay.
Yeah.
No
worries.
And then he put this out as a challenge to the delegates. He said, if the current EFF leadership had failed to build the school in 5 years, mm-hmm. they should be voted out. This included himself.
So this was the second elective conference that the EFF has had.
Yes. Give us some of the background, Pums.
And no, this is not background. This is general information. This is their second electoral conference.
All right, tell us.
And Julius Malema was again unanimously voted in as the commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
CIC.
Yeah. So he founded the party.
Mm.
And now he's in his third term.
There's no ZANU example here.
I'm simply saying.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Kenneth Cowan does stuff.
Where we are. No, but we don't have to go that far. We really don't. I mean, we've got Blade.
We've got Blade. And Blade has been there a long time. I agree.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
We've got Blade. We've got Bantu Olomisa. We've got enough precedent here in our country.
Absolutely.
But I am intrigued at the way that the elective conference went down. So they decided that they weren't having Daily Maverick.
Yeah.
Because they feel that the Daily Maverick is biased in their reporting against them.
Mm.
Sure.
So they're not having the Daily Maverick.
So they just didn't let them in.
Yeah, they didn't invite them.
Okay.
And they were not at any of their press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And then ENCA. Ta-da! On Saturday, after all of that hoo-ha, then make a big announcement that they are withdrawing their technical team and they're withdrawing all coverage because this is wrong.
You're standing EFF. For the press and yeah.
Oh, please.
So you don't believe it?
No, they just want also, you know, they want to be like, I was also there, me too. I was also there making a stand. And it's fascinating for me that they would make the stand with the EFF. But when the DA banned the Sowetan, they did not make the same stand.
Exactly. But this is so typical. and I have the same problem as you do with this hypocrisy from the media. The mainstream media.
Mm.
It's like, guys.
Yeah.
Really?
You
cannot be the news. If you are a news agency, you cannot be the news. You are reporting on the news. Now, they knew that the Daily Maverick wasn't allowed a week ago. Mm-hmm. They knew the Daily Maverick wasn't allowed. They could have just made the decision a week ago that we're not sending anybody. They don't have to make a big announcement about it. No, but they're sending the whole team and then we're staging a walkout. Suga.
Big talk.
Do us Suga. A favor.
Where do you think a decision like that comes from? Or what motivates a decision like that?
Some editor has got their own head up their backside. That's what it is.
Oh. Or wherever the checks get signed.
Oh.
He who pays the piper plays the tune.
Oh.
So fair enough.
I didn't think of it that much.
Yeah, I mean, all media organizations are owned by somebody. And in this country, more of them are owned by a very few people than are owned by many. So that's why the EFF must start their own news service and their own radio station, TV channel, school, whatever they want to do. Let's see how they run those. And if they run those well, they might just make a good case for themselves as a government.
Oh. See, this is not what I was thinking about when I was moisturizing. Oh.
What were you thinking?
No, just thought it was it's so naive of me, so sweet, but I just thought it was they were trying to have morals and stand by them.
No. These media organizations are not to be trusted. Any of
them. Wow. So on starting, they say they want to, the EFF say they want to start an alternative radio station and also print publications in plural. I don't know if that tells us even more. But they say to guard against negative categorization of the party and its ideals. The party's Commission on Media and the Battle of Ideas presented the proposal to the National Conference on Monday morning following its elective conference over the weekend. And so let's see what happens there.
These guys couldn't run a bath. Yeah, they couldn't run a bath. Forget about running
a... That's not true. They are the third biggest party. They are in three provinces. They are the opposition, the official opposition, right? Mm-hmm. So they couldn't run a bath. They seem to be running a very tight ship there, getting enough votes on their side.
The CIC wasn't mincing his words. He said, you know, on the note of starting the school, he said, quite frankly, if we were able to raise 32 million rands in the past 8 months for this conference, then there's no reason why we can't raise more for an idea like the school.
The ideas are not new, guys. Albert Luthuli had a newspaper.
Sure.
A school, and the ANC was started by... So this is not a new idea, and it's not wrong. They are allowed to have platforms.
They are
allowed
to have platforms
to proliferate their ideology.
Proliferate. Very nice.
Yeah. That guy's like, yes, for you. It's the 17th of December.
Hong.
What I'm excited about is the fact that that he went hard at Helen Zille and the supposedly new DA, because we want to see these parties fighting with each other. Oh, I don't like it when they're buddy-buddy.
Oh, guys, the DA is in such free fall.
But I'm so what? Let them reposition themselves after falling apart. Just like all the parties in the world that do, that lose their way. Look at the Labour Party in the UK now. Start again. And let's hear what you're about and let people make their decisions. But I don't want everybody looking the same.
It's good for democracy.
Fantastic. Of course it is. So let's see it. I want to see these people falling apart. All right, Mbulelo, you've got a couple of minutes to tell us what's going on in sport. Do you want to talk a little bit about Mark Boucher?
I do want to talk about Mark Boucher. So he's back in the mix.
Flesh from the past.
Yeah.
So the good old, the fantastic trio is getting back together. Jacques Kallis apparently is going to come in. But now Boucher went
A party with old ideas. All right, let's go.
He went and said he wants to bring AB de Villiers back. Now, to give you a bit of context why I cannot tell you how much I loathe this call. AB de Villiers took time off for a sabbatical to go and make a music album, okay? I have no time for a millionaire telling me he needs time off. Listen, the reason you get paid millions in sport is so you make big sacrifices away from your family. I don't want to hear about, oh, my marriage is in trouble, I want to make a music album. Be quiet and go and play sport. Otherwise, go work at a bank and earn your 5,000 rand a month, and you can have all the time with your family you want. So, Bouch, do us a favor. AB de Villiers released some awful songs. You can look up Mark Your Dromavoor.
The worst.
And he took a sabbatical from playing, the honor of playing SA cricket. So, Bouch, you bring back AB de Villiers, I'm already out. Fire Bouch before he starts, quite frankly, if that happens. I've got no time for that. And then, Gareth, my favorite thing to do, of course, I'm going to do a flip-flop. I identify now as Betty for this week.
Oh, good.
Because our closer captain, Siviwe...
What is with you and all this tribalism?
I know.
I'm calling you out on it. No.
Yeah.
No.
He likes. The minute someone says he's Xhosa, he changes to Pedi. When they give him too much petty admin, he changes back to...
No, if Khalima's got a yellow jacket for me, bring it closer.
That right there is the problem with tribalistic tendencies. Then you have to flip-flop.
Exactly. I've been clear before. I'm only after power. I'm not here for the patriotism. But anyway, our closer captain and the boys failed to win. So I identify as Betty this week at the Sevens. The boys lost to New Zealand in the final. And that's it for this week. That's my flip-flop for this week, Gareth.
Wow. All right. Look at you. Wow.
So somebody sent me an SMS to correct me about the ANC school. Yes. Right, which was the Solomon Mahlangu Freedom College in Tanzania. Okay. And it was Langelibalele Dube who had a school called Ohlange, which still exists in Natali, by the way. Thank you for that.
Very good. Some useful information for you this morning. Someone says here, who's this? Let me give credit where it's due. Mfundo says, EFF, just stick to politics. Stop interfering with everything. But then none of these will take off.
Politics is everything.
Exactly. Politics is everything.
Yeah, but that's exactly why everything's shit. If we could take the politics out of everything, it wouldn't be so shit. It's wonderful to hear the level of respect you all in the studio show to doctors in this country. If anyone wants a little insight into what it's like being on call over the festive season, read 'Twas the Night Shift Before Christmas by Adam Kay. It gives hilarious takes on all the strange things that get stuck in various orifices, among other things, during the holidays.
Who's that?
That is from Nick.
Oh, Nick.
Did not hear me say doctors are special?
Nick,
come on, Nick.
Sorry, Mbulela needs to have a very serious moment with Nick. Nick.
Go on.
Nichols.
Go on.
Based on the tone of your message, it seems like you know a lot of doctors, or maybe you are one yourself. If you'd like to, you know, direct some of your doctor contacts my way.
Oh, you're looking for a doctor now, are you?
Oh, yeah.
This is what you're after.
Anyone single? Preferably divorced.
Why does everything turn into a dating show for
grown
for
children? Because these are my young juicy years, Gareth.
Oh, so this is while you've still got the
I have
the
less than 2 months left before I turn 25. Do you know that I'm slowly turning into dried fruit?
Oh, before your body becomes a bean.
Yes.
Shame, Sia. I've got to figure that out for you before it's too
late.
The
young gays are chomping at my heels.
There are younger, better ones.
Yo, these young gays, they are ready with glitter and speedos. Me, I have not set myself up for the future. Do you think this moisturizer is going to hold up any longer? Ah, Nick, please do best, brother.
All right. Apparently, the fake gun charge story, this is according to Miguel now, reminds him of a 1994 comedy called Airheads about three band members that hold up a radio station and force them to play their songs for all to hear.
Oh.
It's hilarious. Oh, yes, yes. Okay, so now this is going to push me. Bihlang saying, Tobela. Ki khopela. Hore le botsise.
Le botsise?
Mbulelo. Hore nya kho senyehile. Kai ka Chelsea.
Oh.
What is he talking about?
Something about Chelsea.
Where's it all gone wrong?
Eriko Ubocha, Chelsea are useless. He's asking, where's it all gone wrong with the Blues? Okay. It was a horrible weekend. Don't want to talk about it.
All right.
Oh.
So,
well
anyway.
Well done there, Gareth.
You
well
were going to say something about the pedi that you're taking on as opposed to the Xhosa, and there was the captain of the rugby team or something?
So he's Xhosa. Okay. So basically what I wanted to say is until as Xhosas, we release another Madiba or we win another Miss Universe or Siako Lisi gets another white woman like Seal, then I can jump back over.
So what happens, heaven forbid, for your case, what happens in a week when the Pedis and the Xhosas both do you wrong?
No, then I'll look on Twitter who's trending more. Then I'll flip flop to
nice
that side.
To choose.
Yeah. It's about power. See,
it's nice.
People, let's not create these dichotomies and black and white.
Okay.
I can have a multiplicity, and I'm happy to exercise that.
Alrighty.
All right. Very good.
Quite a complex world you live in.
So many things to get to this morning. All right, it is 7 o'clock. When we come back, we will hit the skids on the news, on some of the things that are going on in the world, some of the stuff you might want to talk about after the weekend. And I'm still waiting for one or two of those stories about people who've misbehaved over the weekend that the doctors say is the worst weekend when it comes to injuries, drunken behavior, emergency room antics.
I have some of those in the news for the next hour.
Good, I can't wait.
Okay.
All right, let's
go. Okay. We're about to get into the countdown. CliffCentral.com.